I was preaching out of the Ecclesiastes for a while, and I said to my church, how many of us ever heard a message out of Ecclesiastes? Just very few folks raised their hand. And it's hardly ever dealt with. But the only time we deal with Ecclesiastes is when it's time in chapter 3. And then over there in chapter 12 when he talks about remembering thou thy creator in the days of thy youth. I was listening to Brother Daniel. Is that right? Have I got that? Is that the carpenter that was helping Brother Jerry Reed down? Is that Eddie. Brother Eddie, I'm sorry, I've got the names wrong. And I noticed what he said. He said he called Brother Ronnie, and in 24 hours, Brother Ronnie gave him help. I called him years ago, and in 24 hours, he called the state of Mississippi Mental Health Department on me and tried to help me out. But anyway, that's the way it goes. Sometimes you hit a home run, sometimes you strike out, sometimes you go deep. Yeah. Amen. I've got a brother here that's got a joke on that, but it's good to be with you. I appreciate you. I know many of you. And I guess we got hooked up, man, years and years ago. And if someone said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And if the crowd you're running with is still the same crowd, why swap? I mean, the race is about over, boys. There ain't no need to try to grab a fresh horse because he may not be fresh long. I like those that'll stay in there and still in the latter part of the fourth quarter, still got some breath. And I'll say you've been a blessing to me, all of you. And as I prayed last night 3 years ago, I got a brand new kidney from my son, and the doctor put it in me. I asked him that night when I woke up in the ICU, I said, how did it go, Doc? He said, wonderful. I said, what do you think about it? He said, before we ever closed you up, preacher, when we got all of the cords and everything hooked up, it began to fill the bladder up already. I said, how long you think I got? He said, anywhere from 30 to 35 years. I said, well, thank God, that's good enough. That'll take me might near it there, and I'll just slip on over then. I was saying to Brother Hayes last night, he was telling me about Brother Aiken, Ray Aiken and I were visiting a preacher in the hospital and doing good. And the next week or so, Brother Tom had preached his funeral. And Brother Aiken called Brother Tom and said, well, Brother Tom, what happened? What happened to the dear brother? And of course, Tom, in that real slow drawl that he's got, he said, Brother Ray said he just got so far out yonder he couldn't get back. And so that's one way to go, isn't it? I thought about last night while he was preaching, never dawned on me. Only said Adam came here walking. That never dawned on me, but it's so, wasn't it? And then it dawned on me that he never had a childhood girlfriend. And far as I know, he and Eve never dated. What about that? Just little things. I thought, dear God, man, Adam, it sure is advantage to get being made fully grown. But Lord God, look what all you miss. Man, look what you miss. That puppy love and all of that good stuff, like God help us. Amen. Ecclesiastes, please. I don't have a text today. I know you're supposed to have. Our homiletics teacher said, be sure you got one. But I don't have a text today, so I'm just going to try to preach the whole book. I honestly want to look at three verses out of the book of Ecclesiastes. And these three verses to me really makes me kind of understand, if I'm right in this, the book of Ecclesiastes was written by the same individual that wrote the book of Proverbs. The wise man of the Bible, he calls himself the preacher. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he's the same individual that wrote that beautiful poetry book of the Song of Solomon, and how that is compared to our Lord and His church. And but if I understand, the book of Ecclesiastes was written with man's wisdom in the forefront without the knowledge of God. It is written as if man is living without God. By the way, I told Brother Kevin, make sure he's taping this sermon, because the ladies have said, if you preach, I guess about 80 or 90 of them said, we want two or three copies of your sermon. And so I said to Brother Kevin, I said, my God, you look better than your... He said, Daddy, I said, yeah, you sure do. And he said, I'll make sure I'll copy that. But anyway, it is written with man's knowledge, without the wisdom of God. And man without the wisdom of God is in a mess. I can understand why Solomon said, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Brother, there's nothing in this world that is something that we're looking for without God. There's no beauty to behold unless you see God in the midst of all of it. There's no glory to enjoy apart from God in this sinful world. But God makes the bitter sweet, doesn't He? He makes the weak strong. He enables us to keep on going in the midst of troubles and trials. What we see is God behind the troubles and God behind the trials, and we can go on. I want to say, to me, it is a book of discouragement. I certainly wouldn't recommend this book if you're down in the valley and troubles are coming by boulders and earthquakes. I wouldn't say get in the book of Ecclesiastes and get some help. You'll get in the book of Ecclesiastes, brother, and you'll have to dig your way out. Solomon just constantly tells us and bombards us with this fact. I've tried everything. I've tried money. I've tried this and that, and all is vanity. So you don't need to go to Ecclesiastes if you're discouraged. I'd say it's a book of dejection. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you come out just like Solomon did, dejected upon the world. But you and I know there's better than man's wisdom without God. Then I'll say, it almost is a book of doom. I mean, boy, you feel worse. You feel like you've been run over by a road grader. When spiritually, when you get through the book of Ecclesiastes. But I want to deal with this three verses here today and look at these three verses and be through. And I'm anxious to hear Dr. Maxwell. I've heard of him. I've never heard him. And I'm anxious to hear him this morning. The first verse I want to deal with is in verse number 15 of chapter number 1. In verse 15 of chapter number 1, here's what Solomon said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. He's using a comparison here, and he's saying, as the crooked cannot be straight, then the wanting cannot be numbered. Have you ever wondered how many and what all would be the number if we could find out what all everybody is wanting in the world at one time? What a number that would be. Our wants are many. But here he makes a statement that I just cannot agree with. He said, the crooked cannot be made straight. I'm going to have to differ with Brother Solomon on that. For I believe that God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. The brother said a few moments ago, he was saved under the ministry of a smoking preacher that didn't believe in eternal security. And I said to myself, that's God taking a crooked stick, hallelujah, and drawing a straight line. If you'll read in Jeremiah and also over there in Isaiah some, you'll almost think that Solomon is correct. For Isaiah said, sinful nation. He said, the ox and the ass knoweth their crib and their owner, but my people doth not know me. He said, the whole body is sick, from the top of the head to the feet. The whole body is just a putrefied sore. Brother, if you just read that, you would think that Solomon was correct. The crooked cannot be made straight. But Solomon, I have good news for you. I want you to know, Solomon, there's more in the Word of God just than that. Isaiah comes back and he says, ho, everyone that is athirst, let him come, hallelujah. And he that hath no money, he let him come and buy wine. Oh, brother, I want you to know, hallelujah, there's hope that God can straighten us out. And you are a personal testimony to that. He said in the book of Romans that God can take the heart and make the heart well. Why, he said over there in the book of Romans chapter 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Brother, that which God has made clean, call thou that not unclean. And so, Solomon, I'll say to you, the crooked can be made straight. Every one of us here this morning are crooked, are we not? I mean, brother, we are as crooked as a barrel of snakes. Every one of us needed a touch of God. I want to say hallelujah. God can straighten the crooked out. So Solomon, I'm going to have to disagree with you that things cannot be made right. Solomon, that's just not so, because things can be made right. Someone said this, I believe it was Brother Roy and I speaking as we came to church. He said, knowing that Dr. Rogers died this morning, he said, preacher, if anybody deserved to go to heaven, surely Dr. Rogers did. You know what that's the thought of? Of many a Baptist this morning. But I'll tell you, Dr. Rogers did not deserve to go to heaven. And the only way Dr. Rogers went to heaven, which I'm confident he did, is the same way you and me are going to heaven, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to straighten us out. But Solomon said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Oh, I'd have to say, Brother Solomon, I'm taking issue with you there. I believe God can straighten us out, don't you? I read in the Bible, there was a woman that was a crooked woman, and God straightened her up. Every one of us. Every one of us, including the best, deserves to burn in a devil's hell. Every one of us deserves to be an outcast of society. Every one of us deserves to be living in a leper colony. Every one of us. Oh, but I got good news. The Lamb of God has come. Salvation is free. So Solomon, the things that are crooked can be made right. Hallelujah. I baptized last Sunday night what I call a trophy. We went back 30. Brother, he's a meanin'. I'm glad God can still save the meanest. He grew up in our community. I didn't know him because I've just been there 8 years. But all of my men knew him. His mom and dad and his three children that were in the custody of his mom and dad because of his wickedness. They joined our church. They said, "Preacher, we're trying to get Tracy to come." I said, "Please get him to come." He told his mom and dad, they wouldn't want me over there. I'm too wicked. Honey, that's the kind we're looking for. Oh, God. I'm a hunting him. Hallelujah. I love them. He came in, wore the collar up here tight, long sleeve shirts buttoned tight at the wrist. And I found out the other night when I baptized him, must have took 30 gallons of ink to put as many tattoos on his body. I'm talking about from shoulder to his ankles. Big old things sticking out their tongues, licking at you. I've never seen stuff like that on one human body. Brother, he's in a mess. God took that heathen. God took that rebel. God took that reprobate and saved him and straightened him out. Hallelujah. I want to say, Brother Solomon, that which is crooked can be made straight. Isn't that good? Lord, bless his holy name. Well, let's go to the second verse. Chapter number 2 and verse number 16. Here's what old Solomon said. "For there's no remembrance of the wise more than any of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man?" And he pauses and says, "As a fool." Solomon, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say the things that are crooked can be made straight. And time does not erase the testimony of the godly. Yeah. Solomon said, everybody dies alike and are forgotten. Oh, no, Solomon. I could pull many names out of the Old Testament, but I'm just going to deal with three that you're familiar with. You will not read your Bible far until you run upon one of these three. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To deny that God forgot them would be deny the entire Old Testament. And even much of the New Testament. Oh yes. As Brother Rogers has passed on to his heavenly home, he'll not be forgotten tomorrow. Though he's dead, yet he liveth. I remember a verse or a quote that I've quoted many times, I think originated with him. He said, if religion didn't change you, you better change your religion. Brother, I'm still quoting from Spurgeon. We're still talking about Jonathan Edwards. We're talking about these men that stood for God. Solomon, you're wrong. I'm telling you, Solomon, the wise are not forgotten as the fools. Fellow member at old said a word the last night, I think, about Bob Ingersoll. Didn't somebody say something about Ingersoll last night? Well, it must have been the night before. That would have had to be me because I was a preacher. Oh, brother, how time slips away. But I hadn't thought about old Bob Ingersoll in, Lord God, 35 years. He died an atheist hating God. And he is forgotten. Blessed be the day his memory is erased from all of our minds. But not them people that lived in his day that loved God. Huh? I think he came in. He was a great friend of a preacher by the last name of Brooks. Well, Brooks was a dying, getting ready to go home. And Bob Ingersoll went to see him. And there was many guests there in the home while Brother Brooks was ready to pass to the other side. Nobody was allowed in to see Brother Brooks, but Bob Ingersoll was. They sat and conversed. They were good friends. And finally, Ingersoll said to Dr. Brooks, "May I ask you one question before I leave?" He said, "Sure." "Why was I permitted in to see you and all these others were not?" He said, "Very simply, I'll see those others again. But as far as I know, this is the last time I'll ever see you." Oh, brother, we'll meet again. Hallelujah. And until we meet again, we'll have fresh thoughts of you and blessed thoughts of you. And oh, our heart will shout glory. Abraham was known as the father of the faithful. Here's what James said about Abraham. He was the friend of God. How'd you like for that to be on your epitaph? The friend of God. Oh, Lord. God almost said to Abraham when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, "I ain't going to do anything before I check with Abraham." God have mercy. Now the representatives don't even call me.
Right.
But God said, "I ain't going to do it until I talk to Abraham about it." Woo! God have mercy. That ought to be enough, bless God, to make us climb the flagpole and shout, glory, glory, glory. I remember old Abraham walked with God, buried his daddy, but didn't hang around to visit the grave. He went on and followed God. And God said, "I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give all this to you, not only to you, but all of your seed." And that's still, brother, a promise. I know them Philistines, whom the newscast people call the Palestinians, they've just misinterpreted the word. Same thing that Walter Cronkite said years ago when the Pope died. He said, "The head of the church is dead." I said, "Bless God, if you did 5 minutes studying your Bible, you'd have found out the head of the church ain't never been sick." Huh? Woo! Hey, an educated man, but what a stupid statement. Well, I want to say something to you, Solomon. They still talking about Abraham down at the flea markets. Huh?
Yeah.
Then old Isaac, his name means laughter, joy. He was the follower of the word. Genesis 22. We didn't have the canonized scripture. One old boy in college said, "Well, I'll tell you right now, if it's good enough for King James, it's good enough for me."
That's right.
Talking about a Scofield Bible, he said, "You boys,
You don't study in that, but if you ever get ready to preach, preach out of a King James Version. He pretty green, brother. Amen. Pretty green. As they're going up that mountain, and Isaac said, Father, he said, I'm here. He said, I got the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? Yeah. And he said, God will provide himself a lamb.
Yeah.
There ain't no reason in my mind of doubt that Abraham did not tell Isaac at that time what was fixing to happen.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. Isaac wasn't a tow-headed boy. He was a young man.
Right.
He could have whipped his daddy and took that knife away from him, but he laid down willingly. Why?
Yeah.
He followed the will of the Word of God. Yeah. Abraham gave him the Word.
Yeah.
It wasn't written down,
yeah,
but it came straight from God.
Yeah.
Amen.
He not only was a follower of the Word of God, but he was a finder of the will of God.
Yeah.
The Bible said, you know what he done? Soon as he's got everything situated, he began to dig them wells out again that them Philistines had covered up in the days.
Right.
Huh? You know what he done? He took right in after daddy. He said, bless God, it's good enough for daddy. I'm going to try it myself. And honey, he went to digging wells. Huh? Oh, brother. Oh, God, ain't it good to know?
Yeah.
You right smack dab in the will of God Almighty. Whether you're in Mexico or Russia, bless God, or Northeast Mississippi or Central Tennessee, you're right in the will of God, doing what you can. What a joy.
Amen.
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 And then we'll come to old Jacob, surplanter. I'm going to tell you right now, he's about as wicked as you can get.
Yeah.
Ask old Brother David Shepherd this. I said, Brother David, I want you not to explain. You know, they don't never want you to explain.
Yeah.
They want you to splain.
Yeah.
Splain that verse. I said, David, splain that verse. What verse, preacher? Where Jacob got married and married the wrong woman and didn't know nothing about it till daylight. Now, honey, you take a stab at that.
Come on.
Huh? Bless God, you dissect that. I said, well, what did Brother Shepherd say? He just laughed and he said, ain't that a kicker? Not I, said the fly. Neither me, said the bee. I don't know. I just still can't understand it. Can you?
No.
I mean, brother, didn't know nothing till daylight. Hey! Old Jacob is the father of the nations. Went down with 70, stayed 400 years, and came out with 3 million. Has a job. He's a great fella that was given the second chance. Something stirred in his heart. The God that stirred in his heart while he was a teenage boy growing up. That same God stirred in his heart. And Jacob said, I'm going home. And God met him on that hillside in that night of sleep. And he wrestled with God Almighty. And he said, tell me your name. Oh, he said, Jacob, I ain't going to tell you my name, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. From this night forth, you're going to have power with men and power with God. Deal with that. And God slapped him on the hip. And he walked with a limp on his thigh from that day, but followed his life from that day forward.
Yeah. That's right.
He had power with God, power with me. The wise dies the fool. They're all forgotten. Here's his last question. And how dieth the wise man? Pauses and he says, as a fool. No. Abraham died in a good old age and was gathered unto his people. Isaac was gathered into his people. But boy, I like the way old Jacob lived here. And when he had commanded all of his sons laying in his bed, the Bible said he pulled his feet up in the bed, lay his head on the pillar, and was gathered unto his people. God Almighty, I like that. Woo! How does fools die? A wrestling and a fighting and a screaming and a begging don't go. How does the wise men die? Looking God in the face. I want to say things that are crooked can be straightened. Time cannot erase the memory of the great wise man. I got one more thing, and honey, I'm out of here. Chapter 9. I got so many papers. Get 2 gallons of milk and a loaf of... No, that ain't it. God help us. We need something that'll retract these notes out of sight and bring some new ones. Number 3, chapter 9, verse number 2. Where are we? Here we are. Amen. I got to read verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. Verse 2. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth. Say it with me, folks. Well, I thought I was pronouncing it right. It didn't sound right. And to him that sacrificeth not, as is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. Here's what Solomon said. Trials of the evil and trials of the righteous are the same. Solomon, I'm going to have to differ with you. I know you got more experience than I have, but I'm going to have to differ with you. Why? What do you think? Trials that comes to the saved come with a promise. There hath no temptation taken you but that which is common to man. But God will with the temptation therein make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's not to the lost. That's to God's people. That's the reason when you're sitting around a funeral home and the boy, the man, or the woman, or the girl's in the casket and all of these people are gathered around there that wouldn't know God on a sunny day make a statement like this. All of these things happen for a purpose. That ain't for them. No, sir. In other words, they're saying, God's not going to put more on me than that can bear. That's not for the sinner. That's for God's people. Trials come with a purpose. God never lets anything come your way that it's not for your good and His glory. But that's the God's people. That's the reason He can say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. I know I'm one of them. How? Because I heard him. Trials come from a person, Christ. The blessed Lamb of God, slowly but surely, puts us in that straight way, eases us into the shepherd's pen, helps us to fall in love with the great shepherd. Now I'm going to read two verses and I'm gone. Chapter 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. That's what we would normally call in the South the ball of wax. The whole nine yards. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fact of business, that's one of the points in the, Brother Tom called it last night, the old confession. That's the first duty of man. You said, I thought it was soul winning. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Oh, I love this one, don't y'all? With every secret thing.
Yeah.
Boy, ain't that a comforting verse. Whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Yeah.
Solomon, I love you. Appreciate all you have given us to admonish us. But the crooked thing, Solomon, can be made straight.
Yeah.
Solomon, I want you to know that time does not erase the memory of the saved.
That's right.
And Solomon, I want you to know there's a difference in the trials of the believer and the trials of the sinner.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God is good, isn't He?
Yeah.
Well, I want to say as David said, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yeah.
And all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
Amen.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you. Hallelujah.